This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil premieres April 30th, only on Hulu.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hey, everybody, what's going on? I'm Rob Sesternino, back again to talk with you about the week's most interesting news stories for the week of July 6, 2022, here on News AF.
If the story is buzzing like it's on crystal meth, it's about to be News AF. If the same old news makes you bored to death, it's time for some News AF. Actual, factual news.
Yes, here we go. Wednesday edition here of News AF. Big day for one of the panelists here, as later on tonight, you can watch him as one of the stars of the brand new hit series, Challenge USA. He is pickleball's top influencer, Father Nature. Here he is. It's Tyson Apostle.
I'm here, everybody. An hour earlier, I drove 13 hours yesterday to get to home. And that's the longest drive I think I've ever I have ever done by myself. Or I drove the whole thing. I did all of the driving, 14 hours from Bear Lake, Utah, all the way to my house.
Is that because you don't trust Rachel to keep you alive?
Yes. And I feel accomplished. We got home super late. I am exhausted this morning and everybody's asleep except for me. And Marlo is here on the bed watching YouTube.
Didn't even catch that.
Yeah. It's the only way. It's the only way. Otherwise, she's coming in and out, or she's waking up Rachel and her again. So,
got to sedate them with some YouTube.
Yeah. And you don't have to watch me again for our listeners. You can watch me if you want to on the Challenge USA. You have to watch me here on News AF.
Sure.
But on the Challenge USA, it's optional.
You should give like a secret password that they have to watch here and use to unlock the challenge. That should be the first challenge to watching the Challenge USA.
So only people who listen to News AF can watch the Challenge
USA. Yeah. Kind of exciting. It'd be a fun little like.
That would be fun.
Cracking the codes.
Yeah.
We'll talk to the people at whatever channel.
CBS.
PBS.
CBS, Danny. CBS. Come on, could you imagine? Could you imagine how highbrow this show would be? Yeah. The Challenge PBS.
Tyson already has the clothing for it. Don't you have? What was that thing you used to
roll
wear?
Roll neck sweaters.
Mm-hmm. Oh, a cravat. Cravat.
Oh, a cravat. Yeah. Cravat. Yeah.
Used to wear that.
Yeah, I did. Man, I was thinking about that the other day too. I have no clue where that.
You're
is.
So classy, and like a, you could put a monocle, a top hat.
That would be very classy.
So would classy. It?
Yeah.
I think the most classy.
Okay. Well, hopefully PBS calls and we can do the PBS challenge.
Can we get a little like, what can we expect to see tonight? What happens on the first episode is just like a revealing of the contestants, no real action, or will there be action?
There should be some action. I haven't seen the episode yet.
Mm-hmm. But you lived the episode.
I lived the episode, yeah. So there should be some action. And I also think, there's a challenge. It's an hour and a half. That's a long time.
Whoa. Yeah, 90-minute premiere, Danny. Ooh, are you watching, Danny? Are you going to watch?
I'll
you
try.
Say you watch any show that Tyson is on.
It's CBS, bro. That's so easy to watch. That's like
is
one
that
of the easiest.
Online? Like CBS network television or something?
You can watch it with an antenna.
Have an antenna. An antenna?
People have antennas.
Yeah, you're the guy that. So then probably get online on CBS.com the next day or Paramount Plus. Yeah. If you have Paramount Plus, you can watch it.
Yeah.
It's become so complicated to watch shows.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's complicated to be on them too.
It matches the experience of actually making the show. Yeah.
Tyson, in your reality TV experience, like, do you feel like that you always have a sense of like, okay, here's what's going to happen in this episode? Have you ever like watched an episode of a show that you've been on and then it was like, oh, that was actually not like not how I thought that was going to be going like at all? That's a completely different story than I thought.
Usually I have my finger on the pulse pretty good, even if it's going against me. Like I have my finger on.
Yeah,
the
pulse. Yeah, but sometimes they can edit it in a weird way also.
Yeah, they can pull like a chef. If you remember from South Park, Chef quit and they used all his sound bites and turned him into a really terrible character.
that was great. That was Isaac Hayes, the voice of Chef.
You could get chefed.
I mean, I don't think generally that's happened, maybe in small, but not in full episodal things where I've been like, wow, that episode like did not contain any of the things I thought it would.
Okay. All right. Well, Tyson, we're very much looking forward to that. And maybe one day the challenge PBS on the pickleball broadcasting system.
Yeah. I'll go to that. Mm-hmm.
All right. Now, here is a man who, of course, has a very busy day ahead of him. He's also very busy settling childhood disputes. Please welcome Danny Bryson.
And a man who edits it like it happened, right? No, no shenanigans.
Right.
No shenanigans. There's never if you didn't make it to the top of Mount Rainier, you don't show yourself getting to the top of Mount Rainier.
Copy and paste.
There's never been a mediocre amateur episode where it's like, that's not how it went down.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Like the guy, there was a guy who took a picture of him on the top of Everest and turned out he had Photoshopped it. And then he got banned from climbing Everest for 5, 6, 7, 8
years. Oh, my God. How do they enforce that?
Oh, well, it's a strict permit system to do Everest. So it's probably pretty easy to enforce bans. But yeah, I've been spent the morning playing diplomat to children and trying to settle disputes, fights. There was a fight, almost a fight.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the danger of having two children. Boys.
Yeah.
Are you doing all this work pro bono?
Yeah, I'm not getting paid. But you know what? Probably makes me a better adult. Although the children don't seem to take my advice or understand the concepts I'm imparting very well. Because I didn't treat each child equally. One was more punished than the other. And then when I tried to explain, well, that's because he does this type of thing once every 6 months and you do it 6 times every day. That's why you're getting punished more than him.
Right.
That didn't go over well. He still seemed like justice was not being served, according to him. So I can't imagine any dispute in the world being more difficult to settle than a dispute between two children. Just can't be.
Yeah. Dan, do you think that some governments should be bringing you in to help negotiate peace treaties?
Yeah. Well, also, I was thinking the other day that, you know what? If this is what it's like to solve a dispute between children, all of our world leaders are children because they seem to be as stubborn and not able to take in what I consider to be easy facts. Right?
Did you offer them candy?
No. And on top of that, I was trying to get them to do work. So not only do I have to settle a fight, but I have to get them back to work.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm a miracle worker over here. What else can I say?
Wow. So that's like,
it's quiet up top now.
Getting two diplomats to not only stop fighting, but then to do their jobs.
Yeah. Can you imagine? Yeah.
And Danny's very matter of fact. Like, I feel like that he would come in and it's like, all right, you get this, That's it. We're done.
Liz says that's my one of my biggest downsides. I come in too hard with the facts.
Really? You're too blunt?
Yes. Can you believe that? I'm sure that's shocking. So that strategy doesn't work so great with my 7-year-old little girl. But it often reduces her to tears. Then mom has to apologize about dad coming in with the facts.
You got undercut. Yeah.
Okay. Anyway, you guys know all this.
Yep.
Danny, what have you been up to, Rob?
Oh, I've just been, getting ready for all the shows. The challenge, of course, tonight, but also Big Brother.
Big Brother announced their cast.
Big Brother announced their cast, and then they did it the day before. They told the world that the cast, here's everybody, and then All sorts of crazy stuff has been going on in the last 24. They only announced the cast at 3 o'clock Eastern. Since then, one person, it came out that they tried to get Mr. Beast in trouble. And then this contestant's sister came out and tried to cancel them. But then kind of, she got boomeranged and she got canceled. And then
the Wild West,
Wild West. And then also then by the end of the night, one of the contestants that was on the show, we got a tweet. Actually, this person's out. Here's a new person.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. That's
so who knows? Great. Card subject to change. BB24. Dan, I was thought of you the other day, Danny, because I watched a film on Netflix called The Man from Toronto, starring Kevin Hart and Woody Harrelson.
Okay.
And in the film, Woody Harrelson plays the man from Toronto, and his backstory is that he grew up 50 miles from nowhere.
Oh,
and I said, that's 50? Nothing. That's nothing. I know a guy who is 100 miles from nowhere. Yeah.
Regularly, 100 miles from nowhere.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Nothing. It's just 50, dude. That's
spends
easy. That's
a lot of time
distance.
In Canada. Yeah.
Yeah, it's like 50 miles. You can walk that in a day.
Mm-hmm. You're probably going to Canada today. Mm-hmm. Danny, what are you doing today that we had to film early?
Yeah, I'm trying to work on a trip. I might be going to Montana. So close to
right there,
Canada.
Right there.
But that's probably still 100 miles from nowhere in a lot of places.
Yeah, occasionally during my drive, I will be maybe 100 miles from nothing, possibly. Yeah. Wyoming, by the way, Wyoming, of all the places, is the most empty of all states. I once drove through the heart of Wyoming in the middle of the night and saw one car in like 6 hours. Mm-hmm. It's like just so
you
empty.
Loved it.
I did. It's also unsettling. You're like, did something happen? Did the rapture take place and everyone's been taking up? And I'm just like unaware, driving around, waiting for hell on earth to return.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. Exciting.
That'll happen. We'll text you. We'll text you when Rob.
Oh, that'd be so nice. As you're being taken up, Tyson.
Yeah.
Text me. I wonder how well cell service will work, though. All those people being taken up, disrupting, you know, those frequencies.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. Well, I mentioned a Netflix movie, but it's actually a movie in the cinemas that I want to start talking about today. Have either of you gone to go see the new Minions movie, Minions: The Rise of Gru?
No, but I haven't. It did do great so far, over 100 million opening weekend.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess I need to go watch it. Don't make my small contribution. To that number.
Okay, now, if we did all decide to go see Minions, we may want to consider what we're wearing because of a new viral craze known as the Gentle Minions.
Mm-hmm.
Have you heard about this?
No.
Okay.
This is news.
Right. I don't know what that is either.
All right. So people are, young people are going to go see Minions, Rise of Gru, and they are wearing full like suits and tuxedos. Formal wear.
Oh, I have seen that.
To become gentle minions.
Do you know where I saw that?
Where?
I saw like a week on opening night, maybe, Tiffany from Big Brother last season.
Yes.
Her son, who is like a teenager.
Yes.
Young teenager, was dressed in a suit. And so were his friends, and she was like, "You may think he's going to a prom or something. He's going to see
Minions. He's a gentle minion."
Yeah.
Oh my god!
Old people are rolling their eyes. They're like, "Dude, this is my outfit every day."
Yeah.
Like
back in my day, this is what we used to wear to go to the cinema.
This is what they wore to fly planes, eat out, go work in a mine.
Yeah,
it was like people, always a suit.
If you had any amount of money, you had to wear a suit for everything. That's how it used to. That was like 40 years ago.
Yeah. Go look at a black and white video of people, you know, like the 50s and 60s of just like the streets of New York. Yeah. Everyone is in a suit. So, you know, this pretty is cool. Just like young people rediscovering suits. Mm-hmm. They've been around hundreds of years, probably.
Yeah. And so people are going, young people are going to go dress up and go to go see Minions Rise of Gru because they want to be gentle minions. However, you know, it starts off, you know, oh, okay, this is cute.
Yeah. Oh, no.
But the gentle minions are nothing but, Tyson, because a lot of movie theaters are having problems because the gentle minions are behaving very ungentlemanly.
Gentlemanly.
Yes.
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 Wow. And what are they doing? Food fights?
Throwing.
Smoking,
drinking. Well, they're throwing bananas at the at the movie screen because that's minions like to eat bananas. They look like bananas and they also eat bananas. It's a little confusing. And they're also throwing the popcorn and just basically carrying on in the film.
Nope.
So they're the suit. I was always a big believer that maybe the outfit could change behavior.
Yes. Yes.
You were. That's you.
I was hopeful. Remember, I mentioned that if everybody wore suits on airplanes, like maybe they'd just chill out and fight less. It turns out from this giant study, no one commissioned, not true. Actually, wearing suits produce a desire to throw bananas, apparently.
Yes. Quite despicable behavior, if you ask me.
Oh, very nice.
Yes. I don't remember the sort of shenanigans for Minions 3.
No, who came up with gentle minions as a thing and then you wear a suit too?
TikTok did, Tyson.
Man.
Who's behind TikTok? This is like, who is the person telling them? There had to have been the OG, right? The original who's like, dude,
I don't know,
wear suits.
Who started it?
That's what I'm fascinated
by. And then press charges?
Or go back in time, and when he's headed to the theater, hit him lightly with your car, just enough to, you know, like, so he can't go. And then the suit trend never takes off.
Police report or something.
So the original Minions movie, Despicable Me 1, came out back in 2010. And so that's now here we are in 2022, 12 years later, that the TikTok demo, the key gentle minion contingent, those are the people that have grown up on minion culture. And now, Danny, they are minions. Minions of TikTok influence.
They've been minionified. Like, who's controlling them? Who is the puppeteer?
Yes.
Who is
behind
Gru?
The curtain?
Who is the Gru?
Pulling those strings. I do feel sometimes like people on TikTok are puppets.
Are minions.
Being manipulated by some dark master.
Oh, you think like that?
I mean, he's got them eating Tide Pods. I don't think that was
ice bucket challenge. I love the ice bucket challenge.
Well, like not even filth. Before the ice bucket challenge, that thing they were doing to schools. There's someone behind this sinister person.
You think it's one person doing all of them?
Or
I'd like to think there's some guy in a dark room somewhere
rubbing
his sticky hands
the
together.
Saw mask. It's just the saw mask guy.
That's all he's wearing is a saw mask.
I don't even know his voice, but I...
The truth is, whenever you're being manipulated and the spell wears off, I would guess that 90% of the time you're super embarrassed by the person who was manipulating you. You're like, him? I was letting him control me? It's got to be such a disappointment.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I still don't get the gentle minions aspect, but you know, TikTok works in mysterious ways that anyone over 26 will never understand.
Totally. Yeah. All right, well, the movie did great at the box office. I think over $100 million, biggest July 4th weekend opening of all time for The Rise of Gru, including Mr. Beast, second time coming up on the podcast. Mr. Beast bought out an entire cinema just to bring all the gentle minions in.
Oh, come on. Mr. Beast is pulling the strings?
Yeah.
So he brought in all the gentle minions, and then someone from Big Brother, this cast.
No, that was a couple of years ago. The guy from Big Brother tried to say Mr. Beast was an abusive boss, and then basically that they were unfounded allegations.
Very unfounded. His crew never changes.
Mr. Beast is quite the gentle minion, from what I understand.
Yeah, obviously. My kids love Mr. Beast.
So, he wears a suit and takes people to the movies. Doesn't sound like an abusive boss to me.
But what if he's the sinister mind behind all of this TikTok nonsense?
I don't know. I feel like he's taking part on it. I feel like that he's somewhere further down the food chain. I feel like that he's reacting to people are already talking about it. I don't think he started it.
He's very on point. I mean, he did the Squid Game thing that took him to like a next level.
But he didn't make Squid Game.
No, no. But I mean, he's tapped into the zeitgeist or whatever you would say.
He does stuff because people are talking about it. Right.
Yeah. And he does it pretty early, too. I mean, I hadn't even heard of this. And he's already rented out a theater and had a bunch of people watch it.
Yeah, we're just talking about it. And he is already acting on it. So he's way ahead of us. So what do we know? But now, if you show up at your local movie theater today in a suit, Tyson, and say, hi, I'd like a ticket for me and my friends to come in for Rise of Gru, they might say, no.
Movie theaters, down for a banana. Yeah,
they're not letting gentle minions in to see the one movie that they are so interested to see. I wonder, will people wear their street clothes then buy a ticket to a different movie?
Yeah. Actually, or get like a Kappa tracksuit.
Yeah, and then put it on over your suit, and then it's a tearaway underneath your suit.
Reveal the suit.
Tyson, you have that pickleball gear, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So you could just buy a ticket for Rise of Gru, and then do you think that they will have to pat people down and make sure they're not wearing formal attire underneath their tracksuit?
They might. But are they going to let people in formal attire go to different movies?
Yeah. So
is it just the combination of the Rise of Gru and the suit that is now outlawed? Mm-hmm. Or can you go in and be like, I'm in a tuxedo, but I would like to see.
Yeah. One for Top Thor, Gun. Love and Thunder. Yeah.
Yeah. I think how annoying it'd be if I rush from the UN after doing some strong diplomatic work. And I rush to the movie theater in my tuxedo because diplomatic work can only be done in tuxedos.
Sure.
And they won't let me in. You know, I'm out there settling disputes.
Yeah. And you're like, I'm a diplomat.
I would pat me down. Look for a banana.
Oh, yeah.
Go for it. Try and find a banana on me.
Sir, is that a banana in your pocket?
You found one of those small South American ones. That
plantain? Is that a plantain?
Teeny tiny. What are they called? Apple bananas?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Here on News AF, we always like to, you know, ask the deep probing questions that is it possible that the production company behind the Minions franchise, I believe it's Universal, because when I went to Universal Studios that they had a lot of Minions stuff. Are they somewhere in this food chain paying a TikTok influencer to get a viral TikTok trend to go buy tickets to go see Rise of Gru?
That's very likely.
Hmm.
How much are you paying to get that guy? Like, let's say you're Universal. Mm-hmm. What's the right amount of money?
Yeah. How do we get Rise of Gru, which you would think that, you know, I guess they keep making these Minions movies, but I've not heard any buzz whatsoever about any Minions movie like this.
Yeah, that is interesting. That I mean, you see it sometimes on social media. You can tell influencers are getting paid to push a movie. But to create a viral sensation and do all of this is next level marketing.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Look, all you have to do is go to a hype house, offer a theater to the entire hype house if they will wear suits.
Mm-hmm.
And they're in. Well, you didn't come up with the idea. You just go to the hype house and say, how do we get this movie to go berserk? And they're like, we'll wear suits. And the 40-year-old executive is like, you guys are idiots. You don't know anything about marketing. And then all of a sudden, they're like,
kids haven't worn suits in 40 years.
Yeah, you guys are doofuses. That's the dumbest idea I've ever heard. But I'm willing to try it because you guys are the hype house and my boss told me to be here.
It's so dumb, it just might work.
Yeah, the 40-year-old got fired and in his place, a 12-year-old was hired.
Yes, exactly.
Okay. All right. So that's what's going on with Gentle Minions. And we'll see if there are other big movie trends that this happens again.
Yeah.
Because you got to think every movie studio.
You can have like Thunderheads to the Love and Thunder who wear... I don't know.
Well, I don't think Thor needs it. I think so. Let's see. Summer 2022 movies. What's coming out that's going to need it?
Look for an animated one that's not a Pixar.
Yeah, how could you know what's going to need it, too?
That's anything that's a non-Pixar animation is going to need some bump.
Okay. All right. Paws of Fury is coming out. I don't know if that has any sort of built-in...
Oh, dressed up as... Yeah, no, no. You get a bunch of... what are those people called? Furries?
Uh-huh.
Going in their cat and dog suits.
Dressed in full.
The problem is now we're all locked into this idea of wearing an outfit. But whereas a true TikToker will be like, I don't know. There's something else. Like,
Exactly. I was going to say that too. As the ticket guy rips your ticket, you have to punch him in the face at the same time.
Or punch your friend in the face, you know, who gave consent.
Or yourself.
Punch yourself in the face.
Yeah.
Really hard. You have to punch yourself in the face really hard as you rip as your ticket is getting ripped to go in to see Paws of Fury.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. Let's then talk about something else, at least movie related, and also about some other bad behavior. Danny, you're a pretty decent Star Wars guy, right?
Oh my gosh, that franchise has directed all my major decisions in life.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what should I marry Liz? I rewatched two or three and I'm like, you know what? It's the right thing to do.
Of what?
To marry Liz. All my big decisions are based on like things I find in Star Wars.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, yes, huge deal.
Well, this is a story that comes out of Walt Disney World, out of somebody attempted, you know, and the Star Wars does teach us like, okay, the rebels, they're going to have like audacious plans. They're going to sneak into the Death Star. They're going to steal the plans to the Death Star. They're going to break Princess Leia out. They're always sneaking into stuff and trying to steal something. And that's exactly what this one Star Wars fan attempted to do, because he went into Walt Disney World dressed as a security guard with the intention of stealing an R2-D2 statue.
Let's also point out that the article starts off with someone we haven't talked about in a really long time, and that is a Florida man. A Florida man was charged. Those are the famous five words that have started many articles in Florida. Also, just a year older than us. So it's good to know that people are still committing capers at our advanced age.
At 44, still stuff that like you would, like if you were
that's
to be
key
like...
key demo for stealing R2-D2.
Well, that's a young man's game, right? That's pretty heavy. He could potentially throw out his back.
Should have tried to steal BB-8.
Oh, yeah.
Much lighter.
Much easier. He stole. Did he actually get away with it? Later admitted to moving an arcade machine and an R2-D2 statue.
Mm-hmm.
So it doesn't sound moving it. Doesn't say.
Okay. So stole. Well, here's. So he tried to, and obviously he's busted here. Now here's what he said, Tyson. Tell me if you're buying this. He says he was not trying to steal R2-D2. Okay.
Okay.
He was simply exposing a weakness in the resort safety and attempting to get a job with Disney security. I mean, this is like the plot of a movie.
Yeah, that's how we know he's our age. In the early 2000s, there was a lot of movies about hackers who got jobs with like the Department of Defense by proving their flaws. So classic.
All right. All right, Hotshot. Listen, you're good. You're damn good. We need somebody like you. He's working for us now.
He's in a holding cell, and in walks some strange figure who's like
Mickey Mouse.
And he's like, "You don't have crap on me." And he's like, He throws down his rap sheet. I'm not here to arrest you. I'm here to offer you a job.
Yeah. You ever want to see the light of day again, punk? There's only one way out. Put these mouse ears on. You're working for us.
I think that if that's his claim, what security needs to do is be like, fine, you're hired right now.
Mm-hmm.
And your 94-hour shift has begun.
Mm-hmm.
Just like, work him. Let's work this guy.
Mm-hmm. I like that idea. Like get him in one of those costumes in the middle of a Florida yes. hot sun.
That's what we'll do. We'll be like, you got your undercover as a character. What you got to do is wear this character's costume. Do not take the head off. That will scar the children for life. And
and it's 100 degrees outside with 90% humidity.
And we need you to walk the entire, all of the parks. Epcot, you got to get through Epcot. You got to get through Disney. You got to get through Wildlife Kingdom or whatever that one's called. You got to walk through the water park. No water. There's no room for water in the costume. Your shift starts now. And just like... Yeah, I think that they could definitely do something with this.
Mm-hmm. And, a year from now, he's completely disillusioned with Disney. Never going to steal or attend a park ever again.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying, dude.
I like that, Tyson. That's like creative justice. You know, mm-hmm. every now and then you read about a judge who does something like that. That's what we need with this guy for sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think just hire him right on the spot. Fine. Here you go.
Yeah.
You got your job.
The police went back to his home. They found also several hundred dollars worth of memorabilia also at his house that he had stolen.
Mm, how do they know it was stolen? Because it was all Disney stuff?
They found like it was missing. He got some Disney lighting fixtures, a custom towel cabinet. I don't know what he needed with that.
That guy's obsessed.
Mm-hmm.
He loves an obsession. Star Wars. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I mean... We all know guys like that, probably.
Mm-hmm. Do we? I don't.
I know a guy like that.
Yes.
I know a single guy like that. Yeah. He buys all of the Lego, Star Wars Lego kits, two in twos, keeps one in the packaging.
And one to play
that's
with.
Just a good investment. I mean, that's better than crypto right there.
Yeah. Well, everything's better than crypto.
Mm-hmm. So he's just smart, Tyson.
Yeah.
Yeah. But what I'm saying is like this guy... is yeah so let's get him on security that's yeah. what I think. Ship him all over. Have him be like one of the head guys. He has to, he's Mickey Mouse's bodyguard as Pluto, so he has to go everywhere Mickey Mouse goes. Just ship him across country, back and forth,
adult diapers. Yeah. Lock that costume in the back.
Yeah, is Pluto a guard dog for Mickey Mouse?
I mean, in this scenario, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
You got to figure out a way to make him.
I think we already have. Like, seriously, if they took our advice, this guy's not committing crimes in the future.
Yeah. So that's a crime of people trying to take money out of Disney. But I'd love to know your opinion to know if this is a crime of Disney taking money from people who come to visit. Do you know that there is a $5,000 drink you can buy in the Hyperspace Lounge at the new Star Wars Land?
Yeah, and there's a $5,000 drink you can buy at my house.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, really? What's in your drink?
It's reverse osmosis. Ooh. Purified water,
gold
then
flakes?
Remineralized.
Mm-hmm.
That sounds
so
nice.
There's probably a little bit of gold in
what's
it.
What's in the Disney drink that's okay. so expensive?
So it comes in, there's a prop that's in a lot of Star Wars thing that was like in the 70s, like an ice cream maker. And a lot of people like carry around the prop in the Star Wars universe. And basically you can buy that as a drink. You open it up, like steam comes out of it. It costs $5,000. You could buy it at the Hyperspace Lounge. It's called the Kyber Crystal. With it, you get the actual drink that contains cognac, yuzu and kumquat, Grand Marnier, and three shots. But also you get some extras sent to your room, including a water bottle, a backpack, a room decoration, a bottle of wine, and a voucher for one person to visit Skywalker Ranch for tours.
Actually, I thought of an idea. Right as you said that, I thought, oh, you know what you could have people do is drink from the actual props. Like, oh, hey, come pay $2,000 and drink from the cod piece of like that Solo wore when they were in the garbage crusher. You know what I mean?
Oh,
like,
the real one.
Yeah, like real one. Like Harrison Ford's nut sweats actually like graces that costume, and you could kind of get a bit of that.
I mean,
that
only to me, the first little while.
That to me makes sense. Like, drink out of actual Star Wars props. This one, less so. $5,000 for a cheap backpack.
And I'm not sure if you get to keep the actual prop. Like, I feel like they put the thing down, and I mean, you might, the restaurant might get to keep it. I think that's unclear.
Hmm. Yeah, well, it's like a chalice they pass around and everybody takes a sip for $5,000.
Mm-hmm.
$5,000, no thanks. There's nothing worth $5,000 like drink wise.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe
right,
dying of thirst, right?
Yeah, and maybe if it like cures cancer or something like that.
Of life. Yeah. Yes.
Yeah, exactly.
No, this is going to get you drunk. That's it.
Yeah.
And then you're going to make more bad decisions and probably buy more merchandise.
You end up buying like six $5,000 drinks.
That's what I mean.
Yeah.
It's like a $10,000 deal every
one.
Time.
There's another one. And they're like, are you sure, sir? Yeah, give it. Yeah. There are some ingredients in there that are kind like yuzu, you said.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Those are expensive ingredients, but like not $5,000 expensive.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You could buy an R2-D2 statue for almost that much.
Yeah, you probably could. I'll tell you what, if it makes me look 10 years younger, maybe I'd take a sip.
A sip.
What if the sip only makes you look 10 minutes younger?
Hmm.
That's what they should do. That's how you make money there. Now, we're on to something, Danny. Create a drink that only makes you 10 minutes younger.
Yeah. What if you eat a hot dog at the same time?
It cancels out exactly.
Mm-hmm.
I had two hot dogs, by the way, over the weekend. So if I look slightly older.
You do look closer to death.
It's because slightly. Of those two hot dogs.
Yeah.
So anyways, this drink, you could make it. You could make it so that it reversed you 10 years, but we only want to do 10 minutes so that billionaires have to buy so many of these drinks and chug them all down to look 10 years younger.
Mm-hmm.
And then what you do, you create really ridiculous rules. Like, you have to drink it between the hours of 2:15 a.m. and 3:45 a.m.
Like
you have
Gizmo.
To drink it upside down while hanging from a rope made of ancient Amazonian vines. You know what I mean? So then when it doesn't work, you're like, well, did you follow the instructions? Because they have to be followed.
Oh,
to
so you're thinking make it not work, but tell them it's because they
Well, it's not going to work. So I just have to build in this thing that I can say like, oh, well, you didn't follow the instructions.
That's cheaper than hiring scientists to figure out how to
reverse aging. Yeah, way cheaper.
Aging.
Then you just put the asterisk at the bottom, not FDA proven or
not
whatever.
Not FDA approved.
The FDA has not proven this. But then it's like, you didn't follow the instructions. That's why you don't look so great.
Do we have a big enough network that we could get enough 5-star reviews of the product as we go live?
I have tons of family members. Mm-hmm. Okay. Already, I have like 35.
We need like gentle minions. Yeah, like a TikTok trend to like leave a good review.
Good.
Mm-hmm.
That's the next one to get into pause of power. You have to
drink from the chalice of youth.
You have to leave a 5-star review for the chalice of youth at thechaliceofyouth.com.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. This is a study that I wanted to ask the two of you, because according to some research from the Journal of Sports Medicine, they're suggesting that male cyclists should stand on their pedals about every 10 minutes during a ride to prevent injury or long-term effects that could affect their ability to have sex or father children.
Terrible advice.
Too late for me.
You got to cradle the nuts on the saddle perfectly and then never move again. Standing up every 10 minutes, you risk not finding that sweet spot on your chode where everything is okay. You're going to crush a nut standing up every 10 minutes and then going back to your seat.
How do you know, Danny, where to find the sweet spot? Is it instinctual?
So I'll tell you a story. I went mountain biking in high school with someone who had not ever biked. And we were doing the long ride back up the road after going down the dirt trail. And I'll never forget his scream when he said, "My wiener's asleep." A wiener that's asleep is a good sign that you have not found the appropriate seat position or sitting position.
Yeah.
That's usually a good sign.
Was it painful, like pins and needles? It didn't feel like it was his anymore.
Just goes numb, you know, the reverse stranger there. Mm-hmm. And I don't remember Pins and Needles when it comes back online. But I never had that problem after it happened once or twice, mm-hmm. because, you know, you would adjust.
Yeah.
And find that. Right, Tyson?
Right.
What?
And Danny has impeccable blood flow. Yeah.
Yeah. You have to find this. It's not just the sweet spot. It's finding a saddle that works for you.
Yes. So and they suggest
there's a lot to it.
Nose saddle.
It sounds like this is a sales thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Dude, are they selling this saddle through a link on their website?
Just to see, can you buy the link, buy the no-nose saddle?
Well, they came out with the chode-less saddle, which was like a breakthrough.
A cut through, split saddle to keep the airflow on the chode. And then they had, I've seen the no-nose saddles before.
Mm-hmm.
But I think if you're a competitive cyclist, you need that nose.
You need the nose because you change position on the seat depending on what, you know, like what kind of output, what kind of, you know, climb you're doing. The seat serves a purpose.
Yeah. They say that the no-nose saddle, they say that current evidence supports the use of no-nose saddles as a means to reduce the negative impact of cycling on penile oxygen pressure.
Mm. Penile oxygen pressure. What a term.
Yeah.
That's the blood flow.
The blood flow.
Yeah. Got to get that blood there. Yeah. I just checked every 10 minutes to make sure everything was functioning.
Get an erection.
I'm like, oh, good.
Dude, it was crazy riding with Danny because he'd be like, I have to stop here. And I'd be like, what are you doing?
I got to fluff. I got to fluff. Every 10 minutes, I got to fluff.
I got to make sure my genitals work. Mm-hmm. And then we'd be back on again. And then 10 minutes later. So this is easier definitely to get one of these noseless saddles than to have to ride with Danny stopping every 10 minutes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, could you imagine having to stand every 10 minutes on like a boring, you know, 30 mile flat section?
But here's the thing is that if you watch cyclists now, you're going to see some of these cyclists standing every 10 minutes.
Is standing bad? Now, again, my experience with the bicycle comes from like watching Peloton, but they make you stand a lot.
So the standing is costs you more energy.
Yeah, it automatically your heart rate goes body. Up.
Yeah, your heart rate automatically spikes. It's not as efficient pedal stroke.
Mm-hmm.
So sitting and pedaling is much more efficient and usually faster unless you're sprinting.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
like or standing to sprint. Well, even climbing, most guys now are climbing seated almost all the time. Yeah. So unless you're accelerating as fast as possible, standing is not beneficial. It spikes your heart rate, gets your whole body working in there. And if you're a bike racer, you want to maintain as low a heart rate as possible while pushing as hard as you can.
Okay. Well, cycling is a great workout. I think both Danny and Tyson would tell you that. But people who are working out every day might be wasting their time because
Danny.
Listen to this, Danny. The JAMA internal medicine researchers wrote that they think that people who are working out on the weekend are getting just as much benefit as people who exercise daily.
The data out there supports every type of exercising from 30-second workouts every day to just the weekend to people can justify their workout routine by any number of research papers and studies because it's like crazy what people promote as anything's better than sitting around all day, right? So working out a weekend is still better than not working out at all, and 30 seconds a day is better than nothing. But I mean, there's so much that goes into this. Weekend is better than working out all week. That depends on what your workout is, what your body type is, how swole you're trying to get. There's like a million factors. That's what really irritates me.
This was the factor that they looked at. They were looking at influencing mortality rates. So will you live any shorter by exercising only on the weekends or every day?
So it's just about longevity.
Yes.
That's different than like looking shredded, like what Danny wants to be away from his family. You know, so if your goals are
mental health,
Yeah, so your goals are to be away from your family and have a six pack.
And that's you an gotta, overlooked element of working out every day.
Right, is you got to do every day
of it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
especially in the summer.
This lady on Facebook called me a D-bag, and I'm trying to figure out
why.
How to respond. Well, so on the challenge Facebook page, everybody's like freaking out about how intimidating TJ is, and I just was not in that clip because he wasn't intimidating to me. And I just said, he seems chill to me. And some lady got in and said, says the biggest D-bag on the show. So I'm trying to figure out how to respond to her. I think I'm going to say, what's that?
This TJ guy, let me ask you something, Tyson.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How is he super cut? And like, does it work out every day? Oh, it's a girl.
TJ.
Oh,
TJ.
TJ is the host of the show.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. Now, does this woman, do you think she hates TJ Lavin? And you said he was pretty chill. And then it's like, oh, I guess Tyson is a D-bag. Takes one to know one, I guess.
It almost looks like a burner account because it's a picture of her taking a picture of herself in a mirror with the flash blinding out her face.
Do you think it's one of your castmates?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it could
TJ?
Be. Yeah, it could be.
That hates TJ Lavin or you.
That hates me. I almost got on and was like, this must be a burner account for so-and-so.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I have a few guesses,
mm-hmm.
but I'm just going to say what's that so that she has to say not just D-bag. She has to say douchebag.
Mm-hmm.
So, nice.
Mm-hmm.
Way to go.
Yeah. What's that? The thing is that these people get baited into it so easily. So then she's going to say douchebag, and I'm going to report her comment.
You're going to get is that a ban? Is that a banned word on Facebook?
I mean, you can probably count it as bullying or something. I don't know.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah.
She's walking right into your trap.
Yeah, she sure is.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And you know, revealing herself at the same time.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I love it.
Okay.
So good.
All right, so if you care about living long, then you could just exercise on the weekend. If you care about looking good, you should do it more
every day,
Danny. Okay, all right. And then one other piece of news that I have. This has to do with men that are narcissists. And they were able to do some sort of research here. This comes from something that was published in Sexual and Relationship Therapy, where they rated men using the Hurlburt Index of Sexual Narcissism.
Okay.
Oh, Hurlburt's achievement was getting his name put on that.
Yes. Now, do you think that Hurlburt himself or herself was a sexual narcissist?
Because he made sure his name was included in this.
They got to include me. Okay. So that is from Hurlburt. Okay. And so what they did was they determined men who were narcissists. Now, I'm not sure. I guess, is a regular narcissist also a sexual narcissist?
I would assume probably, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, my uneducated guess is yes.
Yeah, see, I think you can be a narcissist, but not necessarily be a sexual narcissist, because they call it sexual narcissism describes people who have an inflated and unrealistic view of their own sexuality. And what they found is that they are often only out to satisfy themselves. But what this study revealed is that these men also tend to be more prone to what they call in the industry, our friend Dr. Mike would call PE.
So you can probably determine their level of narcissism by the number of mirrors in their bedroom.
Above the bed, yeah.
Yeah, above on the walls. And then you could be...
Although, yeah, depending on, you know, which direction like to be facing. Yeah.
So if you were dating someone and you saw that many mirrors, you should know that you're in for a short time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so they seem to be more prone to PE, but also that they also probably don't care.
No, they wouldn't. They're like, sweet, that was good for me. Mm-hmm. That's good enough. Here's some cab fare.
Mm-hmm.
Get out of here.
Yeah.
It also makes sense. Like, let's assume that you did have a ton of mirrors. You're probably super stoked on seeing yourself make love. So you're like, oh my gosh, greatest thing ever. Everyone involved in this transaction is lucky to be here. Okay, I'm done.
Yeah. So Yeah, the sexual narcissist is definitely not concerned with their reviews after the fact.
No.
Oh, no. Do they give reviews? Like, is this
they
like some
review themselves?
Mm-hmm. No. They give themselves 5 stars every time.
Yeah, another 5-star performance by you know this guy.
Who's got two
You're
thumbs
welcome.
And puts on a 5-star performance every night.
Yes.
This guy.
They also found that the sexual narcissist may often prefer not having a partner and being with their favorite person. Yes.
Yeah, that totally makes sense.
Yes.
Their favorite what?
Their favorite person going solo.
Oh, yeah. Or they could also... teledildonics, I feel like, has a place in this whole thing.
No, guys, no need for it.
Okay,
maybe cloning true. In the future and clone true. Themselves.
Okay, cool. So, how do we get in touch with these guys?
Oh, you don't want to touch
why,
them.
Yeah, why do you want to get a hold of them?
I mean, if they're 5 stars every time.
Mm-hmm. What's your secret? Oh, man, I just love seeing myself.
Yeah, you
can make love to whatever and whoever.
You ever flexed your muscles in a gym mirror?
Mm-hmm. I work out every day so I can do this to myself. Mm-hmm.
Well, studies show you only need to work out on the weekends to live as long as. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. What's the most common name among people who are sexually narcissistic?
Mm. Oh, like common first name?
I wonder if there's like a common tying thread. Yeah, I have a guess.
Yes.
Let's hear it.
I'm not going to say it. I'll probably offend a bunch of people who aren't even anywhere near this level of narcissism.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I did have a friend whose dad had a lot of mirrors in his house. No.
They probably give themselves a nickname.
Yeah.
Oh, did you say Christoph?
Yeah.
Yeah. I had no mirrors that I could tell in his house. Okay. I was telling you, when I was a kid, I went to a WWE wrestling
contest.
Oh, of course he did.
Yes, go on.
And on our way up there, my friend, his dad lived up there. He's like, we got to stop by my dad's house. So we went to his dad's house. I've never seen more mirrors in my life. Mirrors going up the stairs, mirrors in his room. He wasn't there, thank goodness. But I've got to imagine that he's like one of the fastest PE guys in the game.
Well, Danny, it's a little bit of a double-edged sword, because in addition to PE, that also the sexual narcissist can often have difficulties achieving climax, so it could go either way.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Jeez.
Yeah.
Poor guy.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think the sexual narcissist might be more interested in sort of like what's the next conquest, and they get bored.
Mm.
Yes, that makes sense.
It's not about the partner. It's just about like what's new. What's new.
What's my Everest?
Yes. Yes.
I just did another 5-star performance. You were a 1-star performance. I have to find someone who's also a 5-star performer.
Who's worthy of my 5-star performance.
Every single night.
It can be tough. These guys, they're living, it's challenging.
To be as good as they are at what they do
and
know it, and then have to deal with that is tough.
Well, they seems like that they have mastered the art of finding partners, but then also they bore very easily. That they are more likely to have a sexual partner, have sex, and have a greater interest in sex, and also have lower sexual satisfaction and lower relationship satisfaction.
Yeah. So to everybody out there, sure, you can go with these guys, but they're not going to be long term like me, Danny, or Rob, you know?
Or marathon runners.
Yeah.
they're doing like the 100-yard dash?
Interval sprints, yeah.
Interval sprints, yeah. Mm-hmm. If they even finish the race, it sounds like.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, they finish, but, and then give themselves a 5-star review, but then that's it.
And a high five, yeah.
Doesn't mean everybody's finishing.
High five themselves in the mirror. Yeah. Awesome, buddy.
Yeah.
Good job.
Danny, are you ready for this week's edition of your famous Baltal? Here it is.
Yes.
Okay. All right. Not a podcast narcissist interested in pleasing the listener. Here is Danny Bryson.
Welcome to my bolt hole. I think you're gonna like it. I think you're gonna feel You belong.
Yeah.
I came across this story and it pulled at my heartstrings, which you might not know I have.
Yeah.
But I do have heartstrings and they do occasionally get pulled. And this was a father. The background music is fine. His son was struggling with math. So he took it upon himself to tutor his son.
Okay.
And he did so every night. It sounded like every night for some time he tutored a year to get his son ready for the big test that was coming up.
Okay.
The test came. His son took the test and scored a 6 out of 10.
Oh.
And there is a video of the dad weeping and the wife mocking him in the background. Now, it's all in Chinese, so
How old is the child?
Oh, the child.
It's like a high schooler, or this is like a first grader?
This is a younger child.
Yes.
But I kind of felt for the guy. Obviously, he was a math narcissist. Mm-hmm. He overestimated his skills as a math person.
Yeah.
And really, his wife, instead of laughing, should have stepped in when she knew that this is what was going to happen, because she must have been listening to the lessons every night. The son's scores gradually went down. And I got to say that as I read this, I felt so bad for this dad, because he thought he was doing
right.
Great work.
You knew it was going the wrong way when the kid got 6 out of 10 and told the dad, but dad, I got half of them right.
No, sorry. 6 out of 100.
Oh.
6 out of 100. I may have said 6, 10. Totally wrong. This changes the dynamics of the story a lot, because he got fold. 6 out of 100, Rob.
Oh my
After
God.
After a year of tutoring in anticipation of this test, 6 out of 100, and the wife, all she could do was
I would cry too. I would cry also.
This is why you don't, I don't overestimate my math abilities. My kid is probably more advanced, my 12-year-old, than I am currently, because I don't know very much math. I would never assume that I could tutor any of my kids in math beyond subtraction, addition, maybe times, some division, fractions. Get out of here.
No, because now they have new math.
Yeah.
How do you do that new math?
Yeah, you don't know. You can't know.
I have a story like this where in high school, I did pretty well in high school. Like I was in calculus for 2 years. So I took calculus 1 and then calculus 2 as my senior year. Calculus 1.
Whoa, brag much?
Fantastic. Had a great teacher, got everything, did everything, was great at the test, no problem. Senior year, probably a little bit less motivation to do well in school. And also the teacher was not as, didn't connect with me as well as far as the teaching methods. And we took the final. I did every single question on there. Every single one. Like I spent hours taking that test. And the teacher passed the test back out with our grades on them. And my friend got like an 11%, and I just started laughing next to me. My friend got an 11%, and the teacher said, I wouldn't laugh if I were you. I was like, okay, I got a 0, dude.
Whoa.
But it wasn't because I didn't do anything. I did the whole thing. I showed the work and everything. I just got every single thing wrong. And
That was a check.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was the last time I ever took math.
You know, can I give you a hot take? I think the 11 is worse than the 0.
Yeah, the 0, because people look at the 0 and they're like, this guy didn't even take the test. He probably didn't even care. He just like garbledygooked it. But I didn't. I did that's what makes it, for me, painful, is that I did every single question. I did showed the work.
But you have plausible deniability.
Yes.
Yeah, like, I didn't even care. Yeah,
whatever.
I didn't even try. I just wrote a bunch of stuff down. Look, I got a 0, dude. Yeah, for sure I do. And so anybody outside of this podcast, that's the story they're getting. I meant to get a 0.
So don't tutor your children in calculus, at least, Tyson. Yeah, find someone else. Find a professional, which is what this father should have done. Yeah. Gotten a professional.
So do you think do you think the father taught the kid incorrectly, Or do you think the kid could not grasp what the father was teaching?
I also wonder if it was because the wife does say that she felt that the pressure was getting too much on the kid. Like people talk about
like how, little league dad.
Yeah. Little league dad. Some people are bad test takers.
Okay.
And so maybe that could have been it. But the father, he obviously wasn't doing a great job. He didn't teach math well, and he didn't teach how to test either very well.
Mm-hmm.
I took summer school math every year I was in high school. That's how bad I was at math. I would fail, and then I'd have to go to summer school.
Do the packets.
I do have a math story.
Ooh.
Similar to Tyson's, I took a test, summer school, math test, and I brought it up to the front desk. And there were, I can't remember what this type of math question was, but there were always five or six steps you had to show your work, right? Okay. And I didn't know how to do them. I left them completely empty. And I walked up to the front desk, and there was a cute younger girl there. And she asked me how I did. I said, I did terrible. I said, I couldn't even answer like a bunch of these, probably six or seven of those. And they were a big part of the test. I got a 90% on that test. And to this day, I think that girl filled in those questions for me at the desk where I turned it in.
Wow.
She, I got a 90%.
She pitied you.
She gave me a pity cheat without me even having to discuss it. I was like, I'm done.
Like maybe she wanted to meet you. That was like her intro.
But then you never had interactions with her.
Yeah, I never had interactions ever again. And I remember when I got it back, I just like probably your friend, I knew I did so bad. I didn't even answer those questions. I didn't even attempt to answer those questions. So when I saw that score, that was the only thing I could think of. And it was one of those things where the test mattered more than all the previous work. So passing this test was essential to getting that credit for that math class. So
you think it was an angel?
Yeah, she was an angel.
Your whether real math or imagined. Angel? Wow.
Yeah, I don't know what it was, but my math angel came in huge. And it sounds like that's what this kid needs is a nice math angel to fill in those empty questions that you can't even begin to answer.
Yeah. I also need you to think back, Danny.
Okay.
That girl wasn't Liz.
No. Well, seeing that Liz is much younger than me,
yeah.
If it was, she...
That'd be extra embarrassing for your math skills.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
She would have been like 10.
Yeah, but even so, I'm not embarrassed by my math skills. Look, I'm not out there plotting rocket launches or orbital decay. That's not me.
You're an adventurer, bro.
Yeah, I solve problems by sight. Like, can I get up that? Yeah.
Is that going to crumble on me if I stand on it?
Probably. Not. So yeah, there's my math story. Sounds like this kid could use an angel.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. Okay. There you go. Danny, great job once again. What's coming up for you? I know you got to get out the door.
Yeah, I got to get out the door, hopefully do some adventuring. And also, if the math angel is listening now, I appreciate
reconnect.
I'm assuming that, now would be the best time to reconnect with a hot blonde. So thank you.
I hope Liz isn't listening.
Wow.
Yeah.
I mean, she would have been older than me, but that's fine.
Okay.
Yeah. She's going to be. So are you driving to Montana today?
I haven't made up my mind. I'm trying to plan around a climb. So I'm trying to climb a mountain that's on the way.
How long is the drive?
It's 11 hours to get to the place where I'm going. So yeah, it's all comes down to weather.
Make sure to stand every 10 minutes while you're driving also, Danny.
I cut the hole out on my seat so my chode has some breathing.
Okay.
And he can poop straight onto the road.
Yeah.
Yes.
Smart technology.
Yes, exactly. So I might get out today, tomorrow. I just haven't decided.
Okay. Today or tomorrow. Well, what have you got going on that we had to go so early? Because I am without coffee. I got up at 7:45 to
The thing is, I still have to pack up a bunch of stuff. I'm doing work in Montana. So I have to pack up a trailer, get a bunch of stuff ready. And it's just whether or not I can get everything ready in time to, I would have left at 5 this morning. But I was like, you know what? I just sleep in and then I'll pack everything. And then if I have time, I'll go or I'll go tomorrow. So
does your dad have property in Montana?
No, but he bought something that I'm going to go pick up in Montana. So
and you're being cryptic about it. So I shouldn't ask you more.
No, I mean, it's not like, you know, 7 kilos of sweet Montana white.
Good. Yeah. It's a machinery or a vehicle of some sort.
Yeah, yeah, it's a vehicle. So
what is it?
It's just a Ranger. I call them Rangers. Oh. So UHV side by side, whatever it is.
That's boring, dude.
It is boring.
But it was like a giant snowcat or like a jet propelled tractor.
Yeah, all that would be a lot cooler, or a helicopter. Yeah. But no, it's just a side by side. They don't have any for sale anywhere within 700 miles. So
wow. Why don't you get Matt to take the helicopter up and then buckle the Ranger underneath it, dude? That would be a video, bro.
That would be a video. I don't think Matt's helicopter could carry a side by side.
Oh, you're not the math expert, Danny. That's you true. Don't know.
That is true.
We got to find that blonde haired girl to do a bunch of numbers for us. In the meantime, I'm going to say, Matt, we don't think your helicopter's even strong enough to carry a Ranger.
Now I need to go tell Liz about the math angel, because what
before
she
listens to this,
she thinks that I'm like mathematically cheating on her with the math angel.
Right. You know,
the math angel is only for math.
It's like, yeah, Danny, I'm not good enough to solve your math problems.
Yeah, there's emotional cheating, physical cheating, and math then there's cheating. Math cheating.
Mathematically cheating.
Yeah. So I got to make sure I tell her about this.
Liz, don't worry about this. She's not getting any of Danny's 5-star loving.
So anyway, that's what I'm doing. Come on, Tyson, tell us about your week. You're gonna be out there on the pickleball courts in 125 degree weather.
Well, I drove from Bear Lake, Utah, the Caribbean of the Rocky Mountains, I think, as they affectionately call it, all the way home last night. We weren't going to, but Rachel had her fill of vacation.
That'll sneak up on you. Yeah.
Let's just get all the way home today. Yeah. We were going to stop halfway, record this podcast, and then carry on. Because tonight I am recording the first episode of our Challenge USA coverage on The Ringer. And should be fun. We'll see. I have my new co-host for this particular segment will be Amelia W.
Yeah,
I was going to take a swing at her last name, Wedemeyer or something, I think is how you say it. We'll learn that
tonight. We'll still listen.
And then, just the pickleball streets and the challenge, it's all happening.
Did your hater ever respond to your comment on Facebook, Tyson?
Let's see. I thought about figuring out, because usually like I could retweet that and a lot of people would like lose their minds.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. It looks like she did.
What did she say?
She said, look in the mirror.
Oh,
that was a great response.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
I mean, you shouldn't be encouraging this type of behavior, but that
what
was
if you the said, biggest D-bag what, in the what show. What if you said, only What's if that? You were standing right behind me?
Wow.
So
it's going to spiral. It's going to spiral.
I usually just do one or two just to get it going.
Yeah.
And then... Yeah.
You should tag her as being a recruit for Dave Ramsey's Facebook group.
I should.
Like, hey.
Also, I mean, I could say something like, I looked in the mirror, all I see is money or all I see is a 5-star narcissist. There's a lot of things I could say, but I think look in the mirror. What do we say here? Do we have a pun? Something real punny?
A pun for, she said, look in the mirror to you.
What's that? Look in the mirror.
I already do all the time.
Yeah, I already do all the time. That's pretty good. I mean, yeah. Or I could be like, okay, now what?
Oh, that's good too.
Yeah.
And then you are waiting further directions.
Yeah.
I can't think of anything. I feel like this is slowly going to go down a road you don't want to go down.
You just stop responding at that point when they start getting belligerent. Yeah. Then you just like...
This is going to end up with a restraining order.
You got a ways to go.
Yeah.
Okay.
This person seems calm enough. This burner account.
Yeah. Okay. All right. And if people want to follow along, where is that? On the official challenge...
Facebook page.
Is it a separate Facebook page for the challenge USA, or is it...
No, it's the same one. Yeah. So they shared a clip. Let me see. I have to see what clip it was. So they shared a clip that says, TJ intense? No, never. And I wrote, he seemed chill to me. And then she got mad at that for some reason that I accused TJ of being chill.
Yeah.
Everybody wants to be chill.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, TJ is pretty chill.
He's super chill. The fact that she's mad that I said that he's super chill and then came at me with a personal insult, which isn't an insult, like D-bag, like when?
Yeah, come on. It's not right. It's not right.
Well, is it not right? It's not offensive to me. Maybe it is to some people. But
doesn't
it's
bother
like,
you.
Yeah. How long ago did people use that? Like 30, 40? That's maybe a 30 or 40 year back. Old insult.
Back when people wore suits.
Yeah, exactly, dude. So, yeah. Oh, well, her loss because my face is going to be all over that fucking show.
All right. Okay. All right. Well, now I've got to follow the challenge Facebook page just to see how this all is going to play out.
Okay. Perfect. Okay.
They finally got me.
They finally got
this
you.
This is what it took.
I know. Dalton Ross was like, now I got to watch this stupid show. And I was like, I'm so sorry. I'm sorry to everybody that has to tune in that never did before. So, but hopefully it's a fun ride for everybody because that's who I'm doing it for. I'm not doing this for me.
You do it
for no narcissist.
You do it for the people.
Do it for the people. I know. Yeah. I do it because I know TV's better with me on it.
Okay. So, all right.
There you go.
Well, great stuff. Be on the lookout for that. And of course, we have all your coverage here of BB24 and much more, including coverage of Tyson and the whole crew on the Challenge USA. That's all going to kick off tonight. Go to robinswebsite.com/subscribe for all things, including the subscribe to News AF at robinswebsite.com/News AF feed. Take care, everybody. Have a good one. Bye.
We did it, guys.